And before we start, just remind everybody to please speak into the microphone because it is to be recorded and we use it to have it for degradation purposes.
Right. We're now before the OPA to hear appeal number OPA-TA-09-003, the appeal of Guam Pacific Enterprises. Appellant, Guam Pacific Enterprise, represented pro se by Mr. Sedfrey Lansonen, and GPA, the appellee, represented by Mr. Graham Botha. We're here today to hear a motion and to proceed further in this case. And before we get into the case further, I would like to say that I want to make sure that the pro se participant in this proceeding has a full understanding of what's going on, and we want to be liberal in this approach and make sure that we're not so deep into formalities that you can't occasionally, when you need to, ask for what's happening now. You're able to, what kind of procedure is this, in other words? And we'll try to fill that in for you without influencing or deciding any matter of substance. But we want you to understand what's going on. Okay. And we're in a procedural phase now. Procedural means we're not talking about any form of substance yet. We're going to decide what happens next, whether we'll get the substance and when we do. What I want to do also is encourage any form of compromise that the parties can come up with. We encourage compromise. I will note that I've seen very few cases where one side is 100% right and one side is 100% wrong. So compromise is encouraged in this and every other case. If you two can get together, that would be acceptable to us. And what I would like to do next is ask you, Mr. Lansonen, to present your motion. You'll go first to present what you're trying to accomplish here with this motion and why you have it before us. And then we'll allow GPA, through Mr. Botha, to respond to that motion verbally, if you don't have anything in writing, Mr. Botha. And to indicate what your reply is to that motion, how you stand on it, and then you'll go forward from there with a decision or further proceeding. Would you like to proceed, Mr.
Higgins? First of all, I have a copy of my motion that they have submitted to the office.
Yes.
The office of the public auditor. Guam Pacific is a supplier of construction materials since 1988 to different government agency and commercial businesses. Beginning in 2002, I found that there are displays of arbitrary, capricious, clearly erroneous, and fraudulent administration in the procurement system of GPA in the way they deal with the procurement process as that is contrary to the law, to the way they practice.
Okay, Mr. Lansonen, we're dealing here with procedure, not substance, and I just want to allow you to bring forth your issue, but to remind you, this is a procedural issue, Where do you want to go with this motion? Are you asking for summary judgment? Is that what you're asking for?
No, just an introduction, then I will introduce my motion.
Yes, yes, sir, go ahead.
Well, with that findings, Mr. Hearing Officer, I hereby move a request to the DSO office that my company, Grand Pacific Enterprise, Inc., be reimbursed for all the liquidated damage that was imposed by the One Power Authority for the following data that are listed attached due to infringement of my right to secure a delivery extension and GPA non-compliance for Chapter 5 GCA and Chapter 6 Division 4 of 2 GAR.
Okay. What we're getting into here, sir, is a bit of substance and a bit of the legal issue rather than the factual issue. We may be getting ahead of ourselves. I don't know. Let's hear from Mr. Bolton what he has to say about it.
Well, I mean, I guess the difficulty is, first of all, I don't have a copy of the motion, and quite frankly, I wasn't aware there was one filed. But, I mean, in terms of a motion for reimbursement, this appears to be quite the same thing. I mean, I looked at the back of it. It appears to be the same thing he asked for originally in the complaint that was filed. They look like, the back items look like the same invoices. I mean, we agreed, I mean, as a factual matter, we agreed that those are the invoices and those are the liquidated damages that were done. I mean, but as a factual matter, I mean, we certainly, I believe, we need to put on evidence as to why it was done, and certainly I'll have, our chief procurement officer, Ms. Pangolin, and her staff explain why there were liquidated damages, and, I mean, we don't do this arbitrarily. I mean, there's a requirement in the code that specifies when and how you're allowed to do it, and certainly we need to look at the facts too to see when the delivery date was. If the vendor doesn't meet the delivery date and then still doesn't meet the delivery date after we give them a notice of default, in essence, we usually give them a 10-day grace period, then we have the right. In fact, we're required to do that because that would penalize other vendors who can meet the delivery date. So, I mean, we certainly need to put on factual testimony to determine why and if it was doing, but I mean, that looks like what he's, I mean, a motion for reimbursement. I'm not quite sure what kind of motion that is, but that's what he was presented at the last filing.
I'm, first of all,
could I just interject?
Yes.
If you wouldn't mind, because I'm not the attorney here, and the concern I have, Mr. Fonsana and Mr. Bofa, is that we don't quite have a level playing field in the sense that Mr. Monfont, you're not represented by an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and that's why Mr. Steig, and I've asked him to kind of bend over, to be a little bit more lenient. I'm not sure if lenient is the right word, but a little bit more accommodating to assist, because Mr. Bofa is quite aware of all of the nuances of the law, but you're coming as, in the terms Mr. Steig, our hearing officer, said pro se, you're representing yourself. And therefore, we want to accommodate that thing, because I think the idea of the procurement rule of hearing was to allow people to come forward without counsel, and we have had that, but it was in a situation where both sides did not have counsel. So therefore, we had an opportunity to be completely accommodating to both sides. In this case, Mr. Lamasana, you are, it's not leveled in that, because you are not represented by an attorney. And even whether or not this is the right motion could be challenged by Mr. Bofa. So this is kind of like where Mr. Steig said, if there's any possibility of compromise, it would be, could be in both parties' mutual interest to compromise. And that's really where we're coming from. More than, because, of course, it is your right to proceed, and if that is your desire, then, of course, we will proceed. But that's really where I'm coming from overall. And let me just say, just as an observation, both parties, I think there's been mixed signals on both parties. GPA, as you mentioned earlier, has done a lot of business for a long time with his company, and likewise, and the late delivery seems to be, even in your own motion, seems to be a consistent pattern, and therefore, why is GPA, doing that, okay, knowing that this vendor has been consistently late, and, you know. So those are just other things that we would prefer to see if you folks could iron this out, if at all possible. But in the end, it's always up to the parties to decide what their next step is.
Just as a court, we encourage compliance.
Right. Well, I know that in Superior Court sometimes there is a referral to mediation or something like one of those. I mean, we've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're certainly open to that. I mean, obviously it requires two parties. I mean, mm-hmm. they'll even pay the fees. I mean, you know, I'm sure I can get my boss to agree to that. But if there are any, I mean, you know, but of course, two parties to do that. I mean, like I said, we've done it before. We don't have anything wrong with that. If we put that on the table, if you think that's an option.
Yes, if any time that the two parties here are able to compromise up until the hearing, and even before a final decision is reached in the hearing, what we will be willing to entertain a mutually acceptable decision.
Yes, sir. Mr. Officer, I believe that this case is a very simple case. Even if it's an inferior or not with the level and with regards to the playing field, since there will be only a few concentration on the law that is stipulated on this type DCA. And the major point here is the integrity, the fair and equitable manner with the way the agency should administer. Yes, the notice of default was issued, but there's an integral part of element, which is the right to secure a delivery extension. This was denied by the agency. And in the law, it is specified that the excuse, and to be excused for act of God, which is God, and which would order all of my protests.
All right. Let me remind you that at any time also, you can retain counsel if you wish. It's not too late. If you want to do that, you may and still bring counsel in to represent you in further proceedings in this case. I'm sorry. At any time you can bring counsel in and have legal representation in further proceedings in this case.
And also, Mr. Hearing Officer, a motion could be made at various angles. All I need is just a petition, and which I have substantiated it with documents.
Okay, sir. What we have here, this situation, let me explain procedurally where we're at now so that everybody understands this. Where we're at now is we're talking about matters of substance and matters of law. This particular proceeding is not appropriate for deciding matters of substance and law. This is a motion dealing with procedure. If the two parties were to provide a stipulation that they have no material facts in issue and they wish to proceed to matters of law, then we can proceed to matters of law, which are the issues you raised, sir. Until both parties agree that there are no issues of fact in dispute, then we are forced to go forward to the next hearing and deal with findings of fact and matters of law. Is that clear to everyone?
Yes.
So are we able at this point to stipulate that there are no material facts in issue?
Not on our perspective. I mean, like I said, there are certain facts that are undisputed, but then there are certain other facts as to how it was calculated on the rest of it that clearly from Mr. Lonsangan's filings and from our filings, we differ very materially on those facts. I mean, it's not that, I mean, as to the invoices and as to the announced charge, I mean, no, we stipulate those are it, but obviously there are factual reasons in our position as to why those were liquidated damages were entered. And I'm sure Mr. Gonsongan has his opinion that those were done unlawfully. So clearly those facts are in dispute. And I mean, I would say they're material facts as to whether their liquidated damages should be assessed or not needs to have testimony presented. I mean, obviously we presented our side so far, but obviously he has a difference of opinion as to whether that was done properly or not.
Going forward as equitably as we possibly can, pro se or non-pro se, it would not be appropriate to proceed further to hit the issues of this particular appeal substantively without findings of fact and everybody being allowed to present their version of the facts. So at this point, I cannot proceed to hear matters of substance, matters of law. Being as fair as I can to everybody, and I want to make sure you understand that. If you, Mr. Lundsonen, have one version of the facts, and Mr. Botha of GPA has another version of the facts, then we don't really get to substance. Whether it was the proper application of the law or not, without a finding of facts or a stipulation as to what those facts were from both parties, because that will affect what happens in the findings of law. That will affect our conclusions of law. Is that clear to everybody? So, what we're going to have to do then is deny a de facto motion for summary judgment. We're going to have to say that's not fair to anybody at this point, because to do so would be to deny you your ability to present your version of the facts and to deny GPA their version of the facts. So we're going to have to come together at a further meeting down the road and hear both sides' versions of the facts, and then we will decide at that point what facts we feel are pertinent and what facts we feel are the correct facts to find, and then go to our conclusions of law. Is that understandable? Every court proceeds this way. This is the same way you're going to proceed no matter where you go in any court. So that's what we'll do. I would encourage both sides to get together and stipulate to as many facts as they possibly can. And narrow down where you think you have differences of fact. I would very favorably on GPA being willing to talk to Mr. Lundsonen, being accommodating as they can to him in terms of working with him to get the facts agreed upon to the maximum extent we can. And I would also encourage, as our public auditor has said, I would also encourage a compromise in this case now, today, or tomorrow, or as soon as we can get it, and at any time before we have a final decision. And that may be to your mutual benefit. A compromise may be the best way for both parties to achieve what they're after.
Okay, Mr. Morrison, the compromise will not unravel the unreasonable activities of the procurement system.
Well, whether or not you are able to achieve a compromise is between the parties. That's between you two. I can't demand a compromise, I can just encourage it. And the reason I would encourage it is because it may be to your mutual benefit if you weigh all the possibilities.
That being said, I think we have to decide this, right? Just go over the rest of the items.
Yeah. Well, the you're talking about the formal hearing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the dates will shift slightly. In that, because of a prior commitment, our public auditor will not be here until the 8th, and she'll be available on the 8th at 2 p.m. So if it is agreeable to everybody, and I understand you've been contacted by phone previously by Mrs. Camacho, we will proceed with the formal hearing itself on October 8th at 2 p.m.
Clear?
And other than that, let's leave the other dates intact here. That there's plenty of time to accomplish all that for everybody. We just had to move the other things, which is the business shift. Take care of it. It's unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Yeah. And let me also put forth that this is a slightly different case here. We haven't had this type of issue before, to the best of my knowledge, and that what we're talking about here is a contract dispute, not a bid protest.
Yeah. I'm not aware of any business being protested.
Yeah, this is, in other words, it's not where you do we have a contract or not. It's, the contract is in place, and how do we proceed during the contract, was it correct or not correct, which is a contract administration issue.
In fact, I think only one of these invoices was actually a bid. The rest of them were, an invitation for bid. The rest of them were done under the small bid process.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
So that's, I want everybody to understand that also. That what we're talking about here was the contract administered in the way the contract should have been administered.
Yeah.
We're talking about a dispute within the contract. Is anybody clear on that?
Yeah.
Okay. I have, after the formal hearing, I have something to ask you, two gentlemen. I would like you to give me a stipulation on one particular issue I've noted that I think will speed things up a bit. I'll tell you what that involves. There's a list of invoice amounts, a list of invoice amounts. There's no page number to it, but I will start. Okay, but yes, the list of invoice amounts are on the motion. Yeah, okay.
Let's have... The same one as the original one, I believe.
Yes. And then I want to get with that, if you two gentlemen don't mind, a pairing of the invoice amounts with the purchase order numbers and get you to stipulate. I have an idea as to what they are, I'm pretty sure, but I want to know which purchase orders go with which invoice amounts. And I will, if I can dislodge this tab here.
Well, I think on our filing, I think we did number the pages consecutively with the tabs on it. I think all of the invoices and the purchase orders should be together for, you know, in other words,
I didn't observe that. That's why I'm wondering if at this particular moment, if it would be possible for the parties to tell me. If it's not possible, then you just say, we're not sure, we'd rather do this some other time. If it is possible, if you could tell me, we have purchase orders 1 through 11 under appeal information.
Okay.
And then we have a series of invoices. I want to pair the purchase order with the invoice. I'll tell you what, why don't we do this after the hearing is concluded, and then we'll see if we can stipulate to that.
To contest it later, not for you to do it now, but to do it later and come back. I think, maybe you may not know, but there should be a matching of these purchase orders should tie into which invoice numbers, okay? That way we know.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then what we want to is... Maybe just add the date of the purchase order, or the date of, and then you can look at the date of the invoice.
Okay.
That just helps us from a chronological, when you issued the purchase order, when it was, the invoice was presented, when you paid it.
Okay. You see what I'm saying, Mr. Lanzani? Do you understand?
Yes, I did it before I did done. Yeah, so we get delineated here and there.
The purchase orders are not delineated.
No, you don't have a column with purchase orders.
We don't have the column with the purchase orders. I'm trying to do it here.
Is it the purchase orders or?
No.
Invoice is a different number.
I want purchase order paired with invoice. Purchase order paired with invoice. That's what I'm looking for.
So maybe just to take the same and just add one more column by your procurement people.
And see if you two can agree on exactly what that is.
And if you two agree, then we can go for it.
Both just sign off for initial on it, and that would be the most helpful. If there's anything further on either side, does everybody understand what's going on here and what's going to happen next? Okay.
And you want them to complete that by the 23rd?
Yeah, the same scheduling order is in effect.
Yeah.
I'd like to have all this information in on the dates, which is your hearing briefs on the 22nd.
Monday and then Tuesday for the hearing briefs.
Right. By 5 p.m. And it's also important to have each party served with this. I was under the impression that Mr. Botha had been served with that document, but also I want to make everybody aware that when something comes to this office, they're very efficient here, and it doesn't take but a few moments until you see it up on the GPA website.
Okay.
And, I don't believe
it's on. We do have a website, but I don't think we could be posting this
in
real time.
And what I'm, in fact, that's where I got my information, and I knew that there was a motion filed, and I would be able to pick it up in the office, but I just went to the website and downloaded it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's everybody's unnoticed about that. All right, if there's no further issues, we'll get together informally and see if we can straighten this administrative issue. All right. Okay, well, I will look forward to hearing your arguments and getting your information in on the dates that we've scheduled in our scheduling order. Okay. The 22nd for hearing briefs and the 21st for hearing materials, as put out in this order. Do you have a copy?
I have a copy.
Okay.
And then if there is no compromise, we'll meet on...
Yes, if there's an inability to compromise, then we will be meeting on the 8th of October at 2 p.m. In this area, we may be meeting in a different room, but if you're here, we'll
confirm that by tomorrow, if it's going to be here or another location within this building.
We had the old courtroom last time for LSAT.
Yes, but we're having the JFK one in there.
Oh, well, okay. Well, then, all right. I guess it's been preempted, so...
And if you could just give me a bit of a warning, is there going to be a long set of witnesses for either side, or?
I will not present any witness. Only a stipulation of the law.
Okay. And would you be acting as a witness also? Would you present facts?
Yes.
As your own witness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're allowed to do that. You can kind of switch roles and become a witness and then switch back to your advocacy role.
I think GPA is kind of presented.
Yeah, I think just the two from procurement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, well then I think our formal business here is concluded, and I appreciate all these procurements. Thank you.
Can you
make
we're just going to have him say the time on record.
Okay, Dad, we're concluding hearing OPA PA 09003, Guam Pacific Enterprises Incorporated, appellant and appellee Guam Power Authority. This is a motion conference, and we're concluding it at 2:40 p.m., 23 p.m. on the 17th of September, 2009. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.